But let's look this morning very briefly at James chapter 2. James, of course, is in the latter part of the New Testament. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. I'm going to use this as a jumping off point and go some different directions. But James chapter 2, verse 14, James talks about faith and deeds, and then he makes a little turn at the end. He says in James chapter 2, verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" Verse 16, "If one of you says to them, someone who has need, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Now, of course, we know that Ephesians 2 verse 8 says that we cannot work our way into salvation, for it's by faith. But this is a counterbalance to that. So yes, you are not saved by works, but if you have salvation, there should be some works evident. There should be some fruit on that tree. Otherwise, it's not a very productive tree. Then he goes on in verse 20 and gives some examples. He says, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together." So they're not exclusive or competing. Faith and work. Faith and actions work together. They're two parts of the same coin. "You see that Abraham's faith and his actions," verse 22, "were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he, Abraham, and he was called God's friend." And I just want to share briefly on the thought of friends with benefits. Friends with benefits. I was recently thinking about friendship. Some occurrences happened in my life, and over the years, I've unfortunately, perhaps, or unfortunately on the other hand, I had the opportunity of had a couple of friends who had some interaction with incarceration, let's say it that way. They got put behind bars for some unfortunate circumstances. And some years ago, I had the opportunity to go and minister to a friend who was in prison. And just recently, I was in the position to do that, and it made me think. It made me think. And as it is a challenging situation, obviously, and there were some tears and remorse, and praise God, the Lord moved and delivered. But it was crystal clear and apparent to me that this was an occasion where this was an opportunity to really minister to this person. And life had constructed itself such that this person was now ready to listen. Isn't life funny? There are times when you are more ready to listen than other times. And this was a person I had been speaking to for quite some time, but the words were not being received. However, at this point in time, now the Lord had his attention. And as the tears were flowing, and as he asked me to lead him again, he had done this some time ago, but had strayed. But now he was ready to do this right. And he asked me, "Please, lead me again into the prayer of commitment. And as I said, as you have all heard, repeat after me. And led him into the prayer as the tears flowed. It was clear that the Lord was making a change in this life. And it struck me, while we had had a kind of a close friendship for a while, and then it kind of had curtailed because he had kind of made some decisions. And although I had reached out, it had fallen somewhat on deaf ears. And I was kind of, okay, I'll leave that in prayer. Now, some time later, kind of out of the blue, I was no longer in his immediate circle of people he interacted with on a day-to-day basis. In fact, when I had kind of looked up on my cell phone, it looked like I hadn't called him for a year. But yet, now that he was in this time of need, I was happy and boom, I was there.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that he would have considered me a friend at that moment, even though I hadn't physically walked with him for a year. And in fact, I was the only one who was able to visit him. Because when I called and said, hey, can I visit so-and-so? They said, sorry, no visitors are allowed because of this policy and that policy. I said, oh, but I'm a minister and da-da-da-da. I said, well, you can speak to Lieutenant so-and-so, but I'm sorry, the policy, I'm sure he's not going to, you know, let you in. I called Lieutenant so-and-so. I said, hi, I'm a minister. He's under my pastoral care. Oh, absolutely. Come right in. So I was like, praise God. So I know that I was the only one that was able to come to visit him, other than his attorney. And isn't it funny how the Lord can orchestrate things? And I was reminded, and isn't it funny how the folks that we think are our friends, when the time of trouble comes, that's what separates the real friends from the so-called friends. And I was reminded even in my own life, some years before, I had, I must confess, a friend that I was close with for a while, and nothing happened between us, but we had kind of not been as close because, quite frankly, I thought he was kind of boring, you know, and I was kind of off the run. Even though nothing was negative between us, but I was just, you know, spending more time with folks over here. But when I hit a rough patch, brother man was right there. And I was like, you know what? This is a friend. This is a friend. And it makes you think and wonder and evaluate what is a friend. What is a friend? The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18:24 says, one in the NIV says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Dependability. Then in there's another aspect of friendship talked about in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. It says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. What's that about? Sometimes a friend will do something to you that causes a wound that hurts, but it's for your long-term benefit, because they'll tell you the real, strong enough truth. But sometimes the enemy will just tell you something that feels good in the moment, but doesn't have long-term benefit. So just because it hurts doesn't mean that person's not your friend. They may be telling you something you need to hear, but you don't see. But they are a true friend, and they have your best interest at heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. When iron sharpens iron, there's some sparks that happen. But that's the challenging part, the challenging in the positive sense of the word, of a true friendship that a true friend loves you enough to bump up against you and not leave you dull as you think that, man, brother, man, you need to be sharpened. Let me, I know this doesn't feel good right now, but this is for your benefit. And of course, we have the godly and spiritual definition of a true friend, where Paul in Romans chapter 5 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, God died for us." John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Real friendship is sacrificial. When you get that call at the inconvenient time in the middle of the night, will you respond and go in the rain, in the dark, to help that person? It's cold out, you are comfortable in your bed. What you gonna do? Yeah, you haven't seen that person for a year, and you haven't really socialized with them, and they hadn't really responded much, but what you going to do? Are you going to lay down your life and be that friend? The world, of course, has various definitions of friendship. That phrase I gave as a title, friends with benefits. Many of you know that in the world, that is used for a platonic relationship which has added some sexual escapades to it. They think that defines friendship, and those are benefits because it feels good in the moment. But they don't understand the larger reality of what they're doing and the fact that it may feel good in the moment, but is it have long-term benefits? Is it the multiplying of kisses of enemies, if you will, that feels good in the moment, but is not the long-term benefit? There may not be the wounds from a friend, which, man, you shouldn't be doing that. If you were really a friend, you'd let me do this. Well, he is really a friend because he's telling you what's right and true and what's in your long-term benefit. That's what defines a friend. James chapter 4, verse 4 and 6, and I'm closing. The apostle says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God's separation? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he caused us to dwell in us? And he has given us more grace." Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. There are benefits, real benefits, not the worldly, superficial benefits, but there are real benefits from walking with the wise, from walking with God, from being in the kingdom. The Bible says in Romans that the kingdom of God is not a matter of meat or drink, not these superficial temporary things, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Put your mind on those, I would say. Put your mind on those eternal, long-lasting things and seek those benefits. In closing, we're familiar with the song from Israel Houghton where he writes, "Who am I, Lord? Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. Let's aspire to true friendship, one with another. Let's aspire to be a friend when my friend needs me. And let's aspire to be a friend of God for true and long-term benefits. Amen. Say, I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God.
Be blessed.